Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Faction Podcast. Once again, I'm here with Kyle.
Hey.
Today, we've got a couple things we're going to chat about. Firstly, the big news, of course, is that earlier this week, Wizards dropped a ban announcement on us, completely unannounced. So we're going to chat through that briefly. We'll probably just quickly hit over most of the formats, because I know neither of us have played any Standard or Historic this week, so there's a limit to what we can say. So starting with Standard, Wizards banned Wilderness Reclamation, Growth Spiral, Teferi, and Cauldron Familiar. There are three bans here that don't surprise me at all, and one that surprises me a little bit, but makes sense, I think. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, pretty much agree with that. I think there's the three reasonable bans, and then there's Cauldron Familiar. I think it probably depends how you wanted to treat the format for the next month. I could see you going either way on it.
Yeah, I'm somewhat surprised there were any bans at all, because I think Wizards has set a little bit of a precedent of, oh, we'll rotate soon, we're not going to worry about it.
Yeah, that was what I expected as well. We put up Viz for so long, another month didn't make a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with most of the really high-level events done. There's still a few events, there's the Showcase Challenges this weekend, and so on, but there's no PT-level events left, I don't think. I'm not actually sure when the Grand Finals are, when Worlds, in heavy air quotes, is, but I don't think that's pre-rotation.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, either way. Where the season is mostly over, so it's an interesting time to ban, but I suppose if people really, really were complaining a lot and just weren't enjoying the format, makes sense.
Yeah, I think their new mentality is that because so much is online, they can make these quick changes just to try and help improve the format for everyone playing it rather than just for big events.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although saying quick changes, there were some issues with making a ban announcement and changing it 2 hours later, with people being halfway through events and having their deck banned halfway through.
Yeah, I saw someone whose deck got banned 3/4 of the way through an SCG event.
Definitely not ideal. Probably could have waited one day for the bans to be implemented.
I do like the immediate or more immediate effective rollout compared to the announcement of an announcement that we had been getting, which just left a whole week of everyone not wanting to play.
Yeah, the announcement of the announcement I was not super fond of. Obviously, this has some issues with, like, yeah, tournaments that happen immediately the day after or the day of the ban announcement and everyone having to adjust to that. So there's pros and cons to both. But having a week of a format that you don't care about, I think, was pretty bad.
Yeah, I think normally, pre-pandemic, I suppose, this would be less of an issue because of the Monday announcement, which gives you time to prepare for the weekend events.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. When your events are all on the weekend and you announce 5 days earlier, that's much easier to prepare for, rather than, like, SCG having events every day of the week. So, regardless of what day you announce something on, it's going to be an issue for someone.
So moving on to Historic, Wilderness Reclamation and Teferi Time Raveler are suspended, so possibly they'll come back, but I would hope not, at least for Reclamation.
Yeah, I don't really know much about Historic to comment on it, but for the basis of why they were banned in Standard, I imagine it's pretty similar for Historic.
My understanding is that Teema Reclamation was the only deck that could consistently beat Goblins in Best of Three, and so it was pretty much the only deck left.
That said, the Historic Open, there was a lot of Boggles decks that went 7x in Day 2.
That's true. That's true, so maybe that's the new meta.
Could be.
Either way, I have no plans to play Historic.
Yeah, neither do I. Not yet.
Yeah. Briefly, Teferi was also banned in Brawl, but I have never played a match of Brawl in my life, so I have no thoughts on that.
I don't think I've played a match of Brawl either, so I don't have anything else to add.
Good. Okay, so let's move on to the format that I think we both care about most, probably, or have been most invested in this week at least, which is Pioneer. So they banned Inverter of Truth, Underworld Breach, Walking Ballista, and Kethis. I have some mixed feelings about these bans. Why don't you go first?
Well, I guess none of these bans really directly affected me in the decks that I played. Played Inverter for a bit, but I never got deeply invested into it, unlike some of these decks that you have. But it definitely seems that Wizards just wanted to get rid of combo, which is a little bit sad. I would have liked some of the more fragile combos to still stick around, because it's just an interesting way to attack metagame sometimes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, as a confession, I am absolutely a combo player, first and foremost. It is the macro archetype I play the most and have had the most success with. So I have played a huge amount of Inverter. I played quite a lot of Kethis pre-Oath ban, and then was excited to get back into it after they unbanned Oath, seemingly not very long ago. Which I feel like is a bit of a tease, almost, from Wizards. They're like, here, have this combo card back. Oh, actually, we're just going to ban the entire combo. Yeah, I agree with you that I think it would be nice to have some combo. There was some talk of Pioneer being the combo format, especially with Modern being more fair recently. What do you think of that?
That definitely seemed how the format was starting off, right? Because they had their initial ban lists, and then the first set injected into it was Theros Beyond Death, I think.
Yeah, I think Theros would have been first.
So, introduce Oracle of Truths. That's not the right name, is it?
Thassa's Oracle?
Thassa's Oracle, that one. So, introduce Thassa's Oracle and Heliod, which single-handedly made two of the decks. And then also Underworld Breach, sorry. So, contributed for three of the four combo decks in that format, which is, there's a bit of tension between banning new cards, which the Wizards obviously don't want to do because they're brand new and want, people want to play with them. So maybe the Pioneer looking like a combo format was just an accident.
Yeah. On the topic of not wanting to ban new cards, the one that stands out to me is banning Walking Ballista instead of Heliod. Walking Ballista, I think, does a lot more cool things, and this ban pretty much kills Scales as well. Not that that was a particularly prominent deck. But I am sad to see Ballista go instead of Heliod, and the only reason I can think of is that Heliod is a recent mythic and Ballista is an old rare.
Yeah, I think with Ballista banned, Heliod will not get much play now. It's kind of just too slow if you're not doing anything busted with it. Because, yeah, if Walking Ballista had other decks that it was still going to be played in. So,
yeah,
those decks lose some percentage points, maybe, if that's the idea they wanted. Like, Sultai loses a little bit from not having Walking Ballista as a traverse target, but I don't think that's such a big deal that you choose to ban Walking Ballista over Heliod. Whereas then, like you said, for Scales, losing Ballista just completely wrecks the deck.
Yeah, absolutely. My quick hits on the other bans, I'll be interested to see whether Lotus Field goes back to what it was before, which was a fringe combo deck that was sort of a bit weird and a bit wacky. So that would actually be a fairly good outcome in my mind. I'm sad they banned Kethis because they only really gave it 2 weeks and it put up, I think it had a couple challenge results, but nothing dominating, and then they seemingly just banned it. I would be unsurprised, however, if they had left it unbanned and it had been too good.
Yeah, I agree with both those. I think I've seen a couple people post this without Underworld Breach in their Lotus Field decks, and they're saying it's doing okay.
Which I think is what you want.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the same thing for Kethis. I haven't really played it, and obviously you have, you know, more what this potential is going to be like, but probably rather than preemptively ban it, then leave it and have it ruin the format for a couple of weeks, and then have one of these instant announcements again after people have got onto the deck, and then lose out.
Yeah, I understand not wanting to do that. On Inverter, I think Inverter combo is really cool, in that Inverter is such a weird card, and the fact that someone built a combo out of it is really cool, and so I would have liked to see it survive for that reason. But I also agree that the deck overall is just too strong. I know Dig Through Time was thrown around as a potential ban, and I kind of like that, partly because I think Dig is going to be a problematic card anyway, which we'll get to later. We're going to talk about a Reclamation deck that I've been playing that leans heavily on Dig Through Time.
Yeah, Dig makes it a lot easier to play a fair game with Inverter than if you didn't have it in the deck, because then the only way of exiling your graveyard would be the Inverter, whereas you can keep it low with Dig Through Time and sometimes win out of nowhere. But if you can never dig away those cards and you still have 15 cards in your graveyard when you play Inverter, it's not going to be the instant win that you'd hope for.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, we've both been playing a bit of Pioneer this week. What have you been playing, Kyle?
So the initial reaction of most people with these bans was that mid-range improves a lot, because your previous bad matchups, being all the combo decks, are now, in theory, gone. So figured that I would first give Saltire a run, because every format's being reduced to Uro, which is not exactly what I wanted, but I figured I would try it anyway. It was okay.
Okay is not exactly a resounding endorsement.
No. So I played against a couple of bigger mid-range decks, which didn't feel great for Saltire.
Niv to Light seems like the big example of that, which jumps to mind, and I know I've seen people having success with on Twitter.
Yeah, I was also going to say that. Seeing a lot of people saying that Urion, 5-color mid-range piles have been doing fairly well, which mostly just outscale Saltire. I think Saltire's much better at getting an Uro into play, which in a lot of my games I did that. I would play it and it would get removed and I'd play it again. I could just do that back-to-back for 3 or 4 turns, which admittedly I wasn't in the best spot in most of those games, because if I had cards in my hand I could cast, I probably would have done that instead.
It's interesting that the format, or at least Niv, puts a deck in a place where just recurring Uro doesn't win you the game, which is almost unthinkable in, for example, Standard. It would be unthinkable. So it's surprising to me that, yeah, there's a deck that goes over the top of Uro.
Yeah, for sure. The other parts of the Saltire deck were all pretty much what expected. You have Thoughtseize and Fatal Push to slow down the aggro decks. Although one aggro deck, or somewhat aggro deck, that it struggled with a little bit was Winota, which I played a little bit after not having the most convincing matches with Saltire.
Is this Naya Winota? I know I've also seen Jeskite versions.
Naya Winota was what I started on. I haven't had time to test the Jeskai one yet. Not sure if I will. I think the best draws from the Winota deck that I had were Elf, either Elvish Mystic Orlando or Elf into Legion Warboss.
Yeah, absolutely. Kelvin Chu put out an article on this deck a couple of weeks ago now, pre-bans, but still, I think we've seen that main deck be adopted pretty widely.
Yeah, even most of the sideboard, I think, has been pretty much adopted by most people. It's obviously a couple cards people are trying differently now, Collective Defiance being the main one. And Kelvin noted that it was very good against Inverter, while not being a useless card in other matchups, so you can still kill creatures with it or get last couple points damage in. So people are trying to find some new and exciting cards to have in that spot.
So how did Winota go for you?
So like I said, the best draws were Elf into Warboss. Other than that, though, it wasn't quite living up to the hype that people had set up for it. That's one game in particular where I got to curve out into Winota with a Legion, Warboss, and Elf, and my opponent just cast a Supreme Verdict. And then I was lucky enough to follow it up with Chandra into Warboss on turn 5, and I was still not really winning.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be.
No, so I thought that's probably the upper end of the draws that you can get. Although I also got a turn 3 kill, so.
Also good.
Yeah, also part of the upper end of the draws. But the games where that didn't happen, it felt pretty poor.
Okay.
I feel like most of the sequencing and stuff, because you're playing all creatures, I hopefully didn't get too wrong. Which means that I was left thinking that maybe my mulligan decisions weren't great.
Mm.
But I mulliganed hands that weren't particularly aggressive or weren't an early Winota or just didn't have lands. That was a common thing that I found in my games, that sometimes, obviously, it was just mulligan hands that had no lands. You couldn't do anything about that. But you really needed to hit every land drop up to 4. Otherwise, you're just playing one clunky threat each turn.
Yep.
like Voice of Resurgence and Tithe Taker, you can't double spell without four lands, obviously, but then you still need double white, which I was missing sometimes. Obviously, Warboss is good, but if you play it on three, it's not game winning like you'd hope it would be. So you really need the elf on one. And then if you don't have the elf on one, you draw it later. It doesn't feel great to play an elf on turn three or four.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like high potential deck, but just hasn't really panned out. One of the things I wonder is you talk about Supreme Verdict, which I think is a card that was not very prevalent 2 weeks ago in Pioneer, because all the Supreme Verdict decks struggled a lot against Inverter for the most part, but also Breach. Things like Jeskai or Blue-White Control and Niv-Mizzet really struggled with the combo decks because they're these big mid-range decks and they're a bit slow and a bit clunky, but now those decks have a chance to thrive.
Yeah, I think I'll probably might touch on that a bit later. It's a deck that I'm kind of interested in but haven't done any testing with, so I don't want it to take up too much time. So first, probably we'll hear about what you've been playing.
No, actually, that's a good segue. Tell us about this deck that you've been thinking about and theorycrafting a bit.
So it's basically Fires of Invention. It's not super original. I've obviously had some experience with Fires of Invention before.
Absolutely. And I think playing a good strategy for Pioneer is to play cards that are banned in Standard.
Yeah, which brings up the other card that I wanted to play, which was Teferi. It's very sad not being able to play Teferi anymore. So I have to try and find a different format to play it in, and Pioneer seems like a pretty good candidate for that.
Yes. So what are the other cards in this deck? You've got eight now.
I've got eight cards, yeah. So I think you can just build it as a Urion deck. I don't think you need to limit it to being just the 60 cards, just because Urion with Fires is very good, as we saw when it was in Standard.
Yes.
Which brings up if you should just play a list very close to what was in Standard using Luka, Coppercoat Agent, to get Agent of Treachery.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one way to take the deck. A potential other direction is to use Fae of Wishes and have a heap of Planeswalkers and then have a Sarkhan as a potential instant win card in your sideboard.
Which we also saw in Standard a bit further back.
For a little bit, but it was eventually surpassed. Like, first it was surpassed by just playing Haste Creatures, and then that was surpassed by playing Luka.
Didn't you win a GP with the Planeswalker list?
The creature list.
Oh, was that the... Okay, that was the Cavalier version. I couldn't remember where we were up to by then.
The Cavalier version. I won Store Champs with
Yes, I remember that. I was there for that. right, so sort of two options there, Luka or Fae of Wishes.
Yeah.
I played against a deck that was a bit like this recently, and one of the big things you get is Oath of Chandra.
Yeah, so Oath of Chandra is a good removal spell and works well with Urion. It's not as good, potentially, as something like Omen of the Forge, because you can't have multiple of them in play.
Yep, true.
So you can't like double blink two Omens to kill a four toughness creature. So maybe there's some incentive to have some split.
I do think three damage is a lot better than two.
It is, yeah. So I probably still favour the Omen. The Oaths over Omen.
Oath, Omen. They all sound kind of similar.
They do, and they're all based off a cycle of five cards as well.
There's more than five Oaths now. There were five... I suppose there were only five originally. Actually, no, that's not true. There were only four originally.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because Liliana's came later, and now we have Ajani's and...
And Teferi. And do we have a white-red one? No, not yet.
I don't think Nahiri. No, because Nahiri was too busy fighting Sauron.
Yeah, I thought we were just trying to add all the white X combinations to replace Gideon, so...
Speaking of Gideon...
Yeah.
Something that I think is interesting, because I have seen this deck pre-ban, is that a lot of the power of this deck beforehand was playing four Gideon of the Trials and several Gideon Ally of Zendikar to try and beat Inverter, and having that sort of prison element to beat combo decks. You had Narset for Lotus Breach and so on.
Yeah.
Do you think that makes this deck a little bit hard to build in still a fairly undefined meta?
I think it's just hard to build in general, because there's also the third option of going into more colours and playing Oath of Nissa, because it also works well with Flickering Urine, and it can potentially help you curve into your Planeswalkers and mana a bit better, which you probably want if you're going four colours.
Yep. I also saw a black version that played Oath of Liliana and Nicol Bolas and Ashiok.
So there's a lot of different things you can be doing, and other than probably starting with the Jeskai base, because you just want Fires and Teferi, which were conveniently the first eight cards to be added, as you pointed out, there's a lot of stuff after that you can do. And yeah, I'm not sure what the correct direction to go is, especially with the Undefined Mana, but I think there's probably something there.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's certainly a lot of powerful cards. Again, put all the cards that were banned in Standard together and see what happens.
Yeah.
Speaking of cards that have been banned in Standard, the deck I've been playing is a Wilderness Reclamation deck. My theory is, at this point, we'll see how far down it keeps getting banned. It sees play in Modern at the moment, so that should be an indication of its power level, and I thought it would be worth trying in Pioneer. Notably in Pioneer, as we've touched on, it's the only format where you get to play Dig Through Time, and also Torrential Gearhulk is a reasonable card to play. So that's the core of this deck. I'm playing Sultai for removal and Thoughtseize, because I think Thoughtseize is absolutely incredible, and a combination of Push, Decay, Heartless Act, so on. I currently have 4 one-offs, I think, in my removal suite, and a pair of Fatal Push. So really diversifying that. And the idea is to just go over the top of people with Wilderness Reclamation, Growth Spiral as well, because we're playing more banned cards, and also some Shark Typhoons at the top end. I played one league with this deck. It showed some promise. It was a bit clunky, and I definitely didn't have enough lands. I went down to 26 lands thinking that I was playing all of this one mana interaction and sensors to cycle and that it would be okay, and I missed my fourth land drop after Growth Spiraling so many times.
Yeah, that's really not where you want to be with Reclamation, missing your lands.
No, not at all. This deck is really interesting as well because I've had opponents bring in Rest in Peace against me and then I just hardcast Dig Through Time. Also, you have the ability to cast so many Dig Through Times. I won one game where I cast 7 Dig Through Times because I also had Torrential Gearhulks, which was incredible.
Yeah, it's a pretty good ratio. I was going to say Rest in Peace is an interesting sideboard card. I know also from Sultai that sometimes you just don't care about it.
Yeah, I think it's slightly better in Sultai because they lean on Uro harder. That's a card I actually don't have in my deck, which is surprising because I think Uro is very, very powerful, but I'm leaning hard on Dig Through Time and I have 4 digs, and I don't think you can play Dig and Uro. I've considered trying to put one in, and I just don't think there is enough graveyard filling without playing any specifically graveyard filling cards like Grizzly Salvage or Satyr Wayfinder, which I'm not doing in my Reclamation deck at the moment. There was also a version that Aspiring Spike posted, which was similar but just blue-green and had Sublime Epiphanies just to really go off. And I did have that happen against me. Someone copied their Gearhulk and countered my spell and bounced a Shark token, and I immediately conceded.
Yeah, it's kind of rough to come back from that. So probably would have also conceded there.
I am still not sold on Sublime Epiphany in a Mystical Dispute format, but
yeah, I'm also not convinced on it. Comparing it to something slightly different in Modern, where you have Cryptic Command and people playing Veil of Summer, it's a kind of spell that's even 3 mana cheaper that does the same thing. It's rough to play against.
Veil of Summer is, yeah, wow. It's a hell of a card.
It is. It's not the obviously the best comparison between Cryptic and Veil and Sublime Epiphany and Mystical Dispute, because Sublime Epiphany and Mystical Dispute do very different things, other than just being counter spells, but I still don't want to be the one bringing a 6 mana counterable spell to my opponent who has 1 mana counter spells.
Agreed. That is a very easy way to lose games, I think.
Yeah.
The last deck I wanted to touch on in Pioneer that I've seen a little bit and I think has some potential is SRAM Auras, the black-white SRAM deck, which sort of dominated briefly before the companion nerf. So this is SRAM and some of the enchantment one drops, enchantment creature one drops from Theros with Lurrus as your companion. What do you think of this deck, Kyle?
I did play against it once in the last couple of days, and it seemed pretty good. It obviously hasn't lost anything from this latest banning. I think you're of the opinion that it probably gained a little bit in its positioning because it was disadvantaged against the combo decks, was your thought?
Yeah, so my basic experience with the deck, I've played it a little bit and I've played against it a lot, is that it discourages interaction. What I mean by that is that it is very difficult to interact with. Even things like Fatal Push, which should be very good against it, are medium because of the protection Al Sayed plus the other enchantment one drop whose name I don't remember, which draws you cards when your things die, plus they have Karametra's Blessing.
Karametra's Blessing.
Yep, Karametra's Blessing. You can tell I haven't played this deck very much. So they have a lot of protection, and on top of that, they have Lurrus to buy things back. So they're fairly good at fighting through interaction, whilst at the same time playing no interaction of their own, really. For a while, we saw Deadweight with Lurrus, but they usually don't even play many, if any, Thoughtseize or Fatal Push. So I think they weren't very good against most of the combo decks, because they basically just had to race, and sometimes they were fast enough, but often not. But obviously all those combo decks are gone now, so they get to prey upon mid-range decks for the most part at the moment, which, as I've said, they're good at fighting through interaction, or other aggro decks, and they just have gigantic creatures, and they can give them lifelink and potentially run away with those games. Are there any other decks that stand out to you, Kyle, in Pioneer at the moment?
I think that's pretty much most of them at the moment. Mono Black Aggro was doing well pre-ban, but as I said, mid-range decks should pick up a little bit, given that there's a lack of combo decks to punish them now. And Mono Black Aggro wasn't super well positioned against them, especially something like Uro. You start to pull ahead quickly.
And I think it was especially well positioned against a lot of the combo decks, because it's a Thoughtseize plus pressure deck.
Yeah, for sure. Otherwise, though, I think that's most of what I would expect.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. This weekend is the Mox Showcase Challenges, so a fairly high-level event, and I think it'll be interesting to see how these formats solidify a little bit, especially Standard and Pioneer.
Yeah, for sure. So far, being only this week, we haven't had any major events for any decks to solidify themselves as the best deck or significantly improved. Yeah, but yeah, with the Mox this weekend, hopefully something comes out on top and we can go from there.
Absolutely. Speaking of those, so I will be playing at least one currently. I currently have the QP for one. I plan on playing three more prelims. We're recording this Friday morning. I'm going to go play a Pioneer Prelim right after this with Reclamation, and then tomorrow I'll play a Modern and Pioneer one is my plan. So hopefully I'll be playing more than one Showcase Challenge, but we'll see. The deck that I managed to 4-1 a Prelim with earlier this week and will be playing, I'm going to play Modern, and that deck is Goblins. I tweeted briefly about this deck, but this deck is primarily a Zach Allen creation, so if you want to hear more about that, I would highly recommend going and listening to his podcast that he does with Harlan Fira, the Up to Date podcast, where they talked about this last week. But basically, the deck uses the new Conspicuous Snoop combo with Boggart Harbinger, which is an infinite combo where you put Kiki Jiki on top of your library, make infinite Snoops, then put some win condition on top, usually Sling Gang Lieutenant, and win from there. But what really impressed me about this deck is its ability to play a fair game. Modern is surprisingly fair at the moment. Sometimes you have to turn three combo people because they're playing Devoted Druid, but there's a lot of people playing Scapeshift or like Bant Control or Blue-White Snowblade, and those decks aren't very good at beating Matrons and Ringleaders with Aethervile. So I've really enjoyed that deck. We will link to that in the show notes, either my version or maybe to Zach Allen's version, which are pretty much the same. I changed a couple cards. But I played a couple prelims earlier this week. I 3-2'd one and then 4-1'd one and 5-0'd a league in between. So I've been hugely enjoying that deck.
Yes. Was there anything in particular for the deck that you wanted to touch on?
I think the construction of the deck is interesting, because goblins have been somewhat of a deck for a little while, even pre-Snoop. It was much worse pre-Snoop. It was much more focused on Krenko and fast Krenkos. And so it used to play a lot more cost reducers and Skirk Prospector at the one drop slot. This deck no longer plays any of that. It basically plays the good goblins. I've been impressed by the deck's ability to interact now, which I think is something that it didn't used to be able to do. So the current build has, in the main deck, has three Munitions Experts, two Tarfires, and also two Goblin Crater Makers, which are mostly for Eldrazi Tron, but sometimes two damage kills a creature. And I've been impressed by the deck's ability to, yeah, play an interactive fair game. Also, Aether Vial continues to be a ridiculous magic card when you have it on turn one.
It definitely is.
The one thing I would say about the deck, the one weak matchup that I absolutely dread playing at this point, is Prowess, especially blue-red Prowess. I think the Prowess variants have really jumped up recently, and we've seen all forms of Prowess. We've seen red-green, red-black, red-blue. The problem with the Prowess decks is that they are all Lava Dart decks. And Lava Dart is very good against Goblin Matron, because you're paying 3 mana for a 1-1. It's also quite good against Slingang Lieutenant, which is 4 mana for 3 1-1s. So just on rate, they run you over. And I think the thing that has made especially Blue-Red Prowess so good is that Stormwing Entity is almost unkillable.
Yeah, it is. See, you've got Munitions Expert as maybe a way to do it.
Yeah, but even from other decks, because this deck the Goblins deck used to have Fatal Push on the sideboard, which doesn't do anything against Stormwing Entity. You also can't really Lightning Bolt Stormwing Entity, because the Blue-Red Prowess deck tends to play a lot of free spells. So it really only dies to Path to Exile at the moment of the commonly played removal spells, which makes it... And also it has Flying. Goblin's main plan against a lot of Prowess's draws is to chump block with your various 1-1s, because the deck has infinite 1-1s, which obviously doesn't work against Stormwing Entity or even Sprite Dragon. So that has been a tough matchup. I'm currently trying Chalice of the Void in the sideboard, which is alright, except that they bring in a Braids anyway for Aether Vial, so it's not perfect. But I have been hugely enjoying that deck, so I'm looking forward to playing that this weekend.
So you're just going to run back the list you've been playing?
Yeah, I think so. All I've done is change the sideboard in line with what Zach suggested, and I put a third Cavern of Souls in the deck. But very minor changes. The deck's been very smooth for me. As I said, almost all the matchups feel good apart from fast combo matchups. I lost to Devoted Druid, I lost to Blue-Red Prowess, and I lost to an absolutely insane red-green Titan Shift draw. But all the other fair decks feel pretty good, and I'm really not sure how to solve the Prowess matchup. Chalice is about as good as I've got so far, and it does win you some games, but you're also playing a 2-mana spell, so it doesn't do very much if you're on the draw.
Yeah, it's interesting. Nothing immediately comes to mind, which I suppose is to be expected. If something did, you probably would have thought of it yourself.
Maybe. I think it's almost like you would have to play actual Terminate or something to actually remove their threats, but then you're just filling your deck with more 2-mana spells. Currently, I have Warren Weirding, which is a tribal sorcery goblin, an old card from Lorwyn block. Basically, it's an edict, or you can target yourself, and if you sacrifice the goblin, you get 2 1-1s, which comes up occasionally, but most commonly it's just an edict that can also be found with Goblin Matron or picked up with Goblin Ringleader, which is not a card I ever thought I would play in Modern, but here we are.
It's interesting, especially because of Stormwing Entity. So there's a lot of spells you could probably play that deal with just the Prowess creatures. Like you mentioned, Deadweight before from Auras. It's not a great solution, but it survives through pump spells and is 1 mana, so it's somewhat appealing in that respect to try and deal with the smaller Prowess creatures, but then does nothing against a storming entity.
Yeah, I think Fatal Push is really the big one that previously has been absolutely A-plus against Prowess.
Mm.
It does everything you want it to do. It costs one mana. It's fantastic. But now that card is not very reliable because it doesn't kill their best threat. Also, that card, it has become apparent to me, Stormwing Entity, it's become apparent just how pushed that card is. Like, why does it have flying and why does it scry two?
Yeah. Just trying to incentivize you to play bigger creatures.
I guess, yeah. It's another one of those designs is the thing that just plays well with the already busted cards. You know? It the thing it plays best with and the thing it wants you to do more of is play free spells, which is already inherently a good thing to be doing in Magic. So it's an interesting design is what I would say.
Hmm. That's fair.
Mana Morphos being the big culprit here. It plays amazingly with Mana Morphos on turn two, which is already a card that is dubious. I don't think Mana Morphos has ever been used in a fair way. Apart from maybe the shadow decks that were playing them just to put an instant in their graveyard, but even then.
Yeah, I think that was my go-to example of the best fair use for it.
But primarily, it's been used to bring back Arclight Phoenix or make Prowess one drops huge. Or speaking of Phoenix, actually, that's the deck I meant to talk about earlier in Pioneer. I've seen Cherry X-Man, I believe it was, on Twitter, who posted a list that he'd had some success with. What do we think of Phoenix in Pioneer, but even potentially in Standard now that there's no more Teferi?
Well, for Pioneer, I think I've played against it twice last couple of days, so it's picked up a little bit. Although, I don't know how much you can take from that, given that leagues have so many different decks now.
Very true.
My opponent drew their four Phoenix, or one of my opponents drew their four Phoenixes in the top 20 cards both games. So, it depends how good you are at doing that. I think that's pretty much what it comes down to. If they, because my other opponent just had Thing in the Ices, and it didn't do anything against my draws, whereas the four Arclight Phoenixes just messed it up, which I think has pretty much been how I've felt about Phoenix decks in any format for a while, although it's probably not true of the modern one when Faithless Looting was legal.
Yeah, I think the modern version with Faithless Looting was, it just had so many cantrips that it always found them eventually, and it had the ability to just play this kind of interactive game.
Yeah.
Which I think is a key part of Phoenix being good, is that its interaction has to be good.
Yeah.
Because you're priced into playing Shock in both Pioneer and in Standard, and if Shock's not good, because, for example, 5-colored Niv-Mizzet is the best deck, I think Phoenix will struggle.
Mm.
Although playing Treasure Cruise is a big draw.
Yeah, Treasure Cruise is very good. Although, yeah, it was still really the Phoenixes that put games out of reach. Again, going back to the opponent that had Thing in the Ice, where they then got to cast the Treasure Cruise later without it being able to take the last counter off Thing in the Ice, or even when it did, and I just got to replay my creatures.
Yeah.
The 7-9 flipped creature isn't really doing enough.
7-8 even, that card.
Oh, 7-8, sorry.
What do you think of Young Pyromancer in that slot? Or even something like Sprite Dragon?
Interesting. I think Sprite Dragon probably changes how you want to be playing the deck in general. Like, for the Companion Errata, there was the red-black Prowess deck that was fairly popular in Pioneer.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think you probably want to move more towards that direction and play blue-red, but then lose out on Lurrus, which is not amazing, but maybe pick up some other things with blue spells.
I mean, you can't play Lurrus with Arclight Phoenix anyway.
No.
It's interesting.
But I guess more I meant that you probably would not be playing the Arclight Phoenixes. You'd probably just play more Prowess creatures, I would expect.
Yeah, I suppose I'm trying to work out, given that we think Thing in the Ice isn't a good 2-drop, there are a couple other options on whether any of them would be better in this deck, in Arclight Phoenix.
Yeah, so the modern lists sometimes had Young Pyromancer. So I suppose, yeah, that suggestion of yours is a bit more interesting to me than Sprite Dragon.
Fair enough. Sounds like there is a lot left to explore in Pioneer. So what are you planning to explore in this coming week?
I think we talked about it briefly before, but it's the Fires of Invention decks, I think, is where I'm going to continue on from.
Yep, absolutely. For me, I think I'm going to keep trying to tinker with this Reclamation deck. I think Reclamation is just such a powerful card that it has potential in Pioneer, and I absolutely love using Torrential Gearhulk to flashback Dig Through Time. So I'm going to keep doing that for a while. I'm actually about to go play a prelim in about an hour or so. For Modern, as I said, Goblins this weekend. That will be on my Twitter. We'll see how well I go. We might talk about that next week, depending on how it goes. Anything else you wanted to mention on the podcast before we wrap up, Kyle?
Don't think so. It's probably... there's some interesting things for Standard where Wizards has introduced essentially Future Standard on Arena. So now you can choose between playing this format that has newly banned cards or playing what will be the format minus Zendikar Rising in a month. I'm not sure which appeals to me more or if neither appeals to me. And I'd rather just be playing Pioneer or Modern. I think it's interesting to have the choice between them.
It is interesting to have the choice. I think I agree with you that neither really appeal to me. I think my plan is to play the Challengers, hopefully Challengers plural, this weekend. And then Mana Traders this month is Legacy, so I guess I'll go relearn Legacy.
It should be interesting.
Yeah, especially because I finished 130 on the ladder last month. So I'm already qualified for the next qualifier weekend, which isn't till September. So I don't really have to care about Mythic this month. I am not going to play Limited probably until Zendikar comes out. I'm back to being a Magic Online grinder. Back to my roots.
It's good to hear.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of today's episode. Kyle, if people wanted to find you online, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Gibson, Gibson without the vowels, so KYLEGBSN. Also stream on Twitch sometimes at Ninja_Kyle, which is also my Magic Online or Arena username.
Awesome. And people can find me at AlabasterWolfie on Twitter. That's Wolf with an IE at the end. And you can follow the podcast at FactionMTGPod on Twitter. So thanks for listening this week. We'll see you next time.
See ya.